Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We booty, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
What's up, boxing fans? This is Rope-A-Dope Radio. I am your host, Chris Carlson. We got a special Friday edition. Obviously, if you follow me on Twitter, or maybe even the last couple of months, you've known that I've had to every once in a while do a Thursday or Friday show if something comes up in my schedule. And something did. It's a positive thing, but, you know, I have to do it for my career. So, unfortunately, you know, when we do these Friday shows, we don't have as many people calling in. But, you know, it is what it is. I got to do what I got to do. But either way, there's a lot to talk about from last weekend, to an extent anyway. But there's, of course, a lot to talk about this coming weekend. Pacquiao versus Rios. Pacquiao comes back after the devastating loss to Juan Manuel Marquez. We'll see how he bounces back versus Brandon Rios, who's coming off a loss himself. Obviously, his first loss of his career, so devastating, but not anywhere near as devastating as what Pacquiao went through by the hands of the great legendary Mexican fighter Juan Manuel Marquez under a year ago. We'll see, man. We'll see how he bounces back. It'll be very interesting. No matter what, entertainment value-wise, it should give us something to talk about, no doubt about it. The undercard we'll talk about a little bit. Honest with you, it's pretty underwhelming. I mean, if they're going to – Rios, to me, is not really a marquee name in boxing. The hardcore fans know him. The West Coast knows him, but – let's be honest. It's not like he's, he's not a pay-per-view guy. He's not a pay-per-view guy. And for them, for them to charge what they're charging on this one, to me, I don't know. I think the undercard is very underwhelming, and to charge it like it's, you know, Mayweather and Canelo, or, I mean, it's not up that high, but it's pretty damn high. You know what I mean? To not have this be a $54.99, you know, pay-per-view, I'm kind of disappointed. But if you are going to make us go $59.99 and then the HD charge, that's up to you. You know, that's fine. But if you are going to do that, then I believe you have to make it up for us. You know, you have to make up. I mean, come on. Like, you can't just, I don't know. I'm pretty disappointed. Very underwhelming undercard. I mean, you have 2 6-rounders on the undercard. It's pretty lackluster, to be nice, that's for sure. So we'll see. You know, we'll see how those fights go. One of them should go pretty quick. We'll see how the other ones go. We do have a heavyweight fight. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's probably going to be some entertainment, you know, on the undercard, but how much two-way entertainment besides Dib Gradovich, the rematch, besides that one, how much are we really looking at? You know, how much are we really looking at as far as competitive two-way fights? It just doesn't, You know what I mean? It doesn't look like we're looking at much, to be honest with you. It kind of sucks, man. So it is what it is. But we'll cover some of it, but we're not going to get too detailed. Obviously, it's a shortened show. It's not going to go 3 hours or anything like that. I got to work tonight, but things come up. I think it's been three times now in the last two or three, probably about 2 months. So it is what it is. You know, what are you going to do? Everyone's got to take care of their business, and that's exactly what I'm doing. So we're going to get into all that good stuff. Obviously, Frotch and Groves, which is a big, big fight over in the UK. They're getting it on this weekend. Actually, if you look at Pacquiao and Rios and Frotch and Groves, a lot of war between, you know, war of words and sometimes physical, like we saw with the Roach and Garcia incident, and I should say Ariza and Roach as well in there. But we're going to go over some of that as well. It's been pretty ugly. There's no doubt about that. So we'll see. There is a little bit of news. By the way, I don't have his name, but another fighter was in intensive care, but he pulled through as well. So that's a positive. Obviously, you know, we've had a bad string here of really serious incidents after fights, and obviously that's the really scary part of this sport, you know, that we sometimes don't appreciate as much or talk about as much. We always, you know, talking about this blood and guts and all that, but you know, it's I don't know. It's a pretty scary sport at times, and everybody wants to see blood and guts, and I'm the first, you know, one guilty of that. But, you know, when we talk about a guy that uses different skills or a guy that quits on the stool, you know, sometimes maybe, you know, maybe we can have a different view of that as well. Maybe a guy, it's best that he doesn't keep taking the beating and can live on. Not just his life, but his career as well. So it is what it is. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. But a lot of issues, a lot of beefs going back and forth. Really, just Freddie Roach and some of the things Ariza and Garcia and him were talking about. We'll talk about a couple of news items, a fight that's being talked about that's pretty interesting. Gabriel Zotto is involved in that fight. And then just some other news, David Haye news. Once again, Tyson Fury looking for a new opponent, unfortunately. So we'll talk all about that. But I think we should start by, you know, talking about Ward Rodriguez. Last week, obviously, that was the marquee matchup. For those who saw that Tyson, they kind of did like a double header. I guess you could say triple header because you had the HBO 24/7 Pacquiao Rios hype show as well. So had the Tyson, you know, one man show that they basically documented. I believe the one he did in Brooklyn or New York. I believe it was in Brooklyn. But well, just a quick recap of that. If you haven't seen it, you should definitely check it out. Pretty good. It's very good. There's not a ton of new information, but it's interesting because, you know, obviously Tyson's been in the news for quite some time, both good and bad. A lot of bad, obviously, majority of it bad, but, you know, so you end up knowing if you're a boxing fan or just a fan of him, which most people are, or at one point in time were. You get a lot of information. So it's not like there was just a ton of new information, but there was some. And with that information, even if it wasn't new, there was a lot more detail to it. So I suggest to anybody to check that out, the new documentary, what is it, Undisputable Truth or something like that on HBO. Especially just a one-man show. It's like an hour and a half of him just going through his life. I thought he did a good job, and obviously always Mike Tyson, brutally honest. As far as the scorecards go for Andre Ward, Edwin Rodriguez, you know, usually I would break it down and give my scorecard and all that, but I didn't give a round to Rodriguez, so it's hard to give him anything. Right away, you could tell that this was going to be a rough and ugly fight, like right off the bat. And but Ward, you know, it is kind of funny. Like, did Rodriguez think he was going to take the fight to the inside and then just rough up and try to out rough up and dirty and work Ward on the inside without really throwing any kind of establishing offense to get inside? I'm not really sure. I mean, I get it, you know. You're not going to outbox him, so what are you going to do, right? But I don't know. I just feel like it didn't seem like he was punching on the way in, and he didn't throw his jab much at all. He's got jab speed, too, so I don't know. He just couldn't get it done. But either way, like I said, real ugly fight at the start. A lot of clinching, a lot of rabbit punching, hits on the break, all that good stuff. But really the jab and body shots were the key. I mean, the first half of the fight, Ward was already able to land clean, flush shots. And, you know, he had the left hook pumping. And in the fourth round, he actually had a great counter off the jab. And a lot of times he would counter the jab with combinations. And most of it would start to the, you know, to the body and then go to the head. And, you know, by the midway through the rounds or through the fight, I mean, he was starting to just pot shot him. And it turned into pot shots, combination pot shots. I mean, it was great to see how many times he mixed, you know, he mixed up his punches. I mean, you'd have the lead right, the right hand to the body, up top of the left, you know, after landing to the body. I mean, there were so many times where, you know, he actually hit him with a perfectly timed left hand right when, you know, Rodriguez was swinging, and he hit the throat. And not just that, but he's got a great jab. We know that. But the way he stepped into that jab, I mean, there were so many times where Rodriguez was about to punch, and he would time him with that jab and just stick it in his face, and it's just nothing he could do. Maybe he'd get a swing off, but it was wild and crazy. And overall, considering the time off, you know, there was really no ring rust. I mean, Ward got to, you know, even though it wasn't a busy per se, he was busy. Even early on, he was busy. Economical, but busy. And, you know, maybe he was able to, those first three, four rounds of clinching, you know, maybe that got him into the fight, and he didn't have to rely on just speed and timing and skills right away. You know, it was more of an ugly fight right away, and, you know, he can do that. I think that's an easy fight for him as well. And going in, I thought it was a mismatch, but I get the matchup. I mean, Rodriguez was undefeated. He hadn't fought in 14 months. It feels like 14 years maybe to him. but, you know, I was really impressed. I mean, there's really no other way to say it. I was very, very impressed with what I saw out of Andre Ward on Saturday. Really, really just dominant. Just dominant. I mean, Rodriguez had some moments, you know, within a round, I guess, but overall, you really couldn't say much. The rest, he was, you know, it was ugly and quick. Right away, it was ugly and rough, like I mentioned, but it was pretty interesting. The ref, you know, almost, I don't know if he got hit or almost got hit by Rodriguez when both of them were punching, you know, off of a break or during a break. It was getting nasty in there, no doubt about it. And something had to be done. And the ref actually decided to go, not just get something done, but, you know, really go, I guess you could say, over the top, although it made for a lot cleaner fight after. But he chose to take 2 points from both fighters, which you just don't see that much. It's one thing to stop them, warn them, give them both points, but he said basically another done. And he started talking about fines as well. You know, I want to assess fines and stuff like that. Well, no matter what, it worked. It definitely worked. I think that's clear. You know, big shouts out to the ref. I mean, the 2 points was intense, but it worked pretty good, you know, and it made for an interesting and fun, you know, funner fight to watch. Points was pretty extreme. Did it work? Yeah, it did, but, and I know he warned him, but I think the 2 points was maybe a little too extreme, but, you know, I got to give him credit, man. He went to control that fight, and he got control of it, no doubt about it. CT, man, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm pretty good, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm doing pretty good. What'd you think of, after over 14 months off, what'd you think of Andre Ward on Saturday night, man?
I thought Andre Ward was real good. I haven't seen it rush myself. I give Rodriguez a lot of credit because he tries. You know, he can, you know, to fight. But it's just, I think what sets Andre Ward along with Floyd Mayweather apart from other fighters is their timing. They have great awareness in the ring, and they have great vision. That can, you know, all that put together and ring smarts. And, you know, when you have that type of fighter, they're very hard to beat. And I think Ward was definitely on point. His jab was very strong. One of the strongest jabs I think I've seen as far as, like, being that strong and stiff. He gets himself in great position where he can punch and, you know, get on defense almost at the same exact time. So, you know, he's very smart in that ring. He knows what he's doing. I think his left hook is very strong. His right hand, I think he might be a southpaw. I think they did say that during the, you know, telecast. He might be a southpaw fighting as a right-hander. Yeah, I didn't see any weakness in his right hand. I give him all the rounds. Don't know where he goes from here, but I think all in all, you know, he fought a very good fight. It would have been hard for other fighters, but he dealt with it well. It was very rough, and that's the first time that I've ever seen a referee give fines in a fight myself. I think he got nicked with a left hook, the referee, and I think he was just upset about that. But all in all, it was a real good fight. Don't know where he goes from here. It's kind of tough because, like, to clean out that super middleweight division, I think he's just going to have to wait, play the waiting game, you know. I don't think a Chavez fight is good. I think, you know, he shuts Chavez out the same way. He would have to, if Golovkin, you know, is saying what he'll do and this and that, well, I would like to see him go up the super middleweight. If that's what he really had to fight Ward, if he could. From what I see, Golovkin has a puncher's chance, but you know, Ward, I think, is just too smart. And Golovkin's not a good fighter going back to me. I think once you fight Golovkin, I mean, he's going backwards, he's less effective. I think Ward will dominate Golovkin as well. I don't know where he goes. I'd like to see him maybe go up to light heavyweight if he could. But we'll see where he goes from here. But all in all, I think it was a good fight for Ward.
Yeah, I agree with you. And as far as, like, where does he go, that's a good point. I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, obviously, the most intriguing matchup, I believe, is Golovkin. You know, I do believe he does offer some skill in the way of coming forward with skill, and I think he uses distance really well. It's intriguing, no doubt about it. And it's someone fresh, and it's someone with a lot of power, and it's someone with skill coming forward, too. So, you know, I don't know if that fight will happen. Obviously, it doesn't sound like it's going to for quite some time. And that, you know, excuse me, that may be better. You know, that may be better that it doesn't happen right away so they can build. I mean, Ward's talking about staying busy, fighting three times, you know, next year. Golovkin, you know, starting February 1st, he wants to fight four times. So, you know, why not let him build both of them? It's not like Andre Ward can't raise his he may not be able to raise his bar, but as far as skill level and performance level, but he can raise his profile still plenty, that's for sure. And you know, he said it himself, like, to be active like that, and we hear it all the time. Obviously, you like to be active on the way up as a prospect, sure. That's really active, you know, but as far as fighting that, you know, that often, and three times would be very often for him. That, I mean, why not, right? I think that would be really interesting. I like that fight. Just, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if that happens. But I don't mind if it takes a while. Obviously, the Carl Froch fight is lingering. Still there. I mean, I don't think he has to fight him again, but for the right money, if he went overseas just to shut up people as a fight next year, why not, you know? I mean, it's not like he couldn't. I mean, Froch, don't get me wrong, Froch could improve on the fight, you know? But you could probably say the same thing about Ward. And remember, Ward was injured, you know, in that with a bad, you know, hand going into the fight, not just during the fight, but in the fight or before the fight. So, you know, we'll see. I think though that it's going to take a while to get that going, but Froch, I could see that happening next year. You know, otherwise it's like, yeah, I mean, what else? I mean, the Chavez Jr. obviously is there, you know, as long as he can get past Vera. You know, that's not a gimme, obviously, off their last fight. We'll see, man. I mean, if he wants to stay busy at some point, I think he's doing it right, that getting all these fights out of the way and staying at 168, you know what I mean? Like, right away, just boom, you know? Stay there, get it all done, and then move up. I think that is a smart move, and he's been talking about, you know, you might as well get this stuff, you know, out of the way. There's no sense in playing musical chairs with your weight, you know? So, I don't know. I'm really, it'll be interesting to see where he goes. They want to get him in. You know, they want to get him in with, it seems like Top Rank anyway. And, you know, it's a money fight for him. It raises profile. Chavez Jr. and him would be big. Ward would be big. It wouldn't be a huge fight, but it would do good numbers on pay per view, and it'd be a good look for him, no doubt about it. I mean, I know he was kind of talking him up, but you know, I think he wins that pretty damn handily. I don't think he has an issue with that at all. I don't know. I don't see him having an issue with that at all. So either way, great performance. I mean, especially coming off, you know, that type of break, it's pretty impressive, man. Very impressive. And just to kind of catch you up with Abdul Salamov, he's out of his medically induced coma. He's definitely, you know, he had some injuries. We know about, you know, the surgery that he needed to have to remove the blood clot. And unfortunately, that's when it got, you know, he suffered a stroke right in that time. And they had to put him on life support. They had to put him on, you know, in a coma. But he's breathing on his own right now. So he's out of the coma. And, you know, he had to have some of his skull taken out, which is because of the bruising, you know, the brain bruising. So it was pretty scary, man, but he pulled through, man. He's a warrior in and outside the ring. So that's great news, obviously, right? I mean, that was a really scary situation. And just watching that fight, you know, we always think, oh, a knockout, like a crazy knockout is what is going to cause all this issues. But, you know, just a slow beating will do it as well. And that's exactly what he was taking. And, you know, I can't blame the corner all the way either, though. I've seen some people taking shots at the corner. Well, okay. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but he never said stop the fight. I mean, he was saying, wow, you know, my face hurts. But it's not like he was still able to fight. And I don't know, he wasn't going down over and over again or you know. So, I don't know, man. That was a tough one, you know. That was a tough call because he was able to still fight. And like I said, he was taking punishment, but it's not like he was hurt or out on his feet a ton during the fight. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things that's how dangerous the sport can be. So it's good to, you know, get some good news out of the camp. And, you know, they had – last time I did the show last week, they had, you know, movement and signs, good, really good signs, and now he put it all together and, you know, he's out of the coma, which is great news. Just, you know, from a other news standpoint, Jermell Charlo, a prospect out of Houston, and Gabriel Zotto is in play. They're in talks right now to be on Showtime in January, which, you know, Gabriel Zotto, I mean, is January enough time for his cut to heal? I guess that would be my only thing. It's good to stay busy. He stayed very active this last year and wants to continue it. And it's a good fight for him. I think he should take this fight, but I don't know, man. Coming off that Quillen fight, now Golovkin and Quillen, you know, you were cut. That's twice out of the last three fights. So he liked the fight, though. The ticket sales are going really good. They've already sold 10,000 tickets for the Bruno Maidana. And, you know, there was a little talk about it this week, talking about, you know, when you actually make a good card, the people respond. And big ups to San Antonio, man. There's about 20,000 people there, something like that. So that's always good when you know, when the promoter and everybody involved, Jesse Lehan as well, you know, they're all doing their jobs, you know, and it's good. It's a win-win, you know what I mean? It helps them, you know, as far as for ratings and revenue and all that, and obviously it gives back to the fans, you know, no doubt about it. So David Haye is retiring. You know, I guess there were some issues with his shoulder that were a lot more serious and turned a lot more serious to after an X-ray. Obviously, we know there was an injury, you know, for this fight already, and he had 5-hour shoulder surgery. And so he's pulling out of his career in general. He's not fighting anymore, or I mean, that's what he's saying. And no matter what, the fight is up with Tyson Fury. So it's a bummer for those who bought tickets and were excited to go to that fight and be in the audience and everything like that. It sucks, and it's a big fight for the UK fans. Obviously, the UK. Some of the best fans in the world, and it sucks that a super fight, which that was a good fight and an interesting fight to us, but a super fight over there. So that really is a bummer, but sounds like, you know, we're hearing Stavern, we're hearing Areola, we're hearing a little bit about Deontay Wilder. I guess, you know, right when it happened that Deontay Wilder, you know, they call Golden Boy and we're talking about, hey, let's do this fight. But it sounds like the lines have been kind of quiet all of a sudden. So I don't really know exactly where they're going. They just found out not too long ago anyway. So we'll see. We'll see where Tyson Fury goes next. He, in his emotional personality, said he's retiring now, that he's done. This is, you know, just with Hayes' antics, I guess, I don't know. He hasn't even been in there that long. He doesn't have that many fights. It's like he's talking about the politics and just, I'm just so, I don't know, I'm retiring. I think, you know, it's just a ploy, just like an attention grab. It's to keep his, you know, his mouth and his name in the media. He's not going to retire. He's not going to retire. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know. And just one more thing before we start getting into this Pacquiao Reels fight and the Frotch Groves fight. A lot has been made about, and I want to talk a little bit about the Freddie Roach, Robert Garcia, and Alex Ariza. Really, those are the three main clogs in a beef they had a couple of days ago. It all started, well, I mean, it's been going on for a little bit now. It's, you know, the way Robert Garcia made it sound that when they see each other out in Southern California, they're cool with each other. There has been some talks of late that's kind of turned a little bit. And I don't really know where it all kind of spawned from. But either way, when it comes to this situation, basically Freddie Roach was waiting a little bit for them to wrap up. And each fighter had, in camps, had, you know, certain times. I think it was 11 to 1 or maybe 9 to 11 and then 11 to 1. I don't really know the exact times. But I do know that Garcia and Rios, the Rios camp, had the scheduled first. So he's sitting there, I guess, patiently waiting, you know, sitting there, and then he finally, he's doing an interview. Robert Garcia goes up to him during the interview and says, you know, you guys got to clear out of here. It's our time. And, you know, both of them could have probably said it originally. The first things that came out of their mouth probably could have said it a little bit, I don't know, calmer. Calm's not really the word. I guess respectful, but then again, you know, from Freddie's standpoint, he thinks, man, what the hell are they running over for? They're just making me sit here. But in the, you know, on the other side, Robert Garcia explains to him that he's like, well, you know, ESPN did some media stuff. We didn't get in here till a little after, so you know, we're still going to take our time that we are, you know, anointed. We got this time, so we're going to use it. We're going to still be here for a little, you know, 30 minutes or whatever. He says, no, you got to go. And Garcia's like, nah, man, we're going to use our time, you know. And pretty soon, you know, obviously it's during the day, and if there's any kids listening, I guess put the earmuffs on. But he said, you know, basically call him a piece of shit, Roach, you know. And he goes on to, they start, you know, Ariza and Roach start to get into it. And Ariza kicks Roach right in the chest. And that was over the top, you know. I mean, it's one thing to have a beef. And I'm not saying Freddie came over and started the situation. He could have been professional from the get-go. After all, I mean, Garcia was doing an interview at the time when he came up. He could have just handled the situation differently, but Ariza definitely could have as well. I mean, you know, like I said, they are trading words back and forth, and Roach was coming forward, I guess, but it's not like he threw a punch. I guess he wasn't waiting for that. Either way, Ariza kicked him in the chest. It was just kind of a strange situation, but then he went on more and over and over and over started doing the stuttering thing. And at some point, like, there's all sorts of categories of unprofessionalism. And I do believe Freddie was unprofessional by coming over how he came over during the interview and not really hearing what Garcia had to say about, well, here's the interview. And not just that, mind you, it's not like Manny. Manny wasn't even there yet. So how are you going to start training when your fighter's not there? You know, so that's an issue. It's not like Manny was sitting there too, you know. And not just that, Garcia went on to explain more that Tapp, you know, taped his hands during that time. And if he did show up, you know, Manny hadn't showed up yet. So I just think it was very, unprofessional by Roach. But we know Roach can be an asshole. We know that. I mean, he does get off. He does get a pass because of Parkinson's, no doubt about it. But still, as a grown adult, to sit there and do the stuttering thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, I thought that was like, come on, dude, you already kicked him. Like, why don't you just talk some other thing about him or talk about other issues they have with him instead of just doing the stuttering thing? To me, that was very unprofessional. Obviously, the kick was too. Does he have a right to defend himself? Of course he does, but I don't know if, it's not, like I said, Roach was coming forward. Freddie Roach was coming forward, but it's not like he hit it, like threw a punch at him. So, you know, some people may say, well, we're not going to wait for that, you know, but whatever. I don't know. It was a messed up situation, but I will say this. There's no way in hell, you know, there's no way in hell that it should have went down like that. And I think, you know, obviously Garcia and – or not Garcia, but Ariza. Ariza to me, you know, I don't know. I think Ariza and Roach were to blame the most. Just because, I mean, you didn't need to come up all aggressive like that, Roach-wise, and you didn't need to kick, you know, an older chest either. You know, like, he didn't need to do all that. It was just kind of weird. But, you know, he was coming at him, so I'm not going to act like he wasn't coming at him, because he was. So it is what it is. We'll see if they get it patched up. We'll see if it spills in. Obviously, I guess at the weigh-in, it could spill or whatever, but I really don't know. Either way, long story short, it is what it is. Not much they can say now because the fight is here. The fight is here. So we have Pacquiao Rios, like I said, an underwhelming, definitely underwhelming undercard, to say the least, man. I mean, this undercard is pretty ridiculous, man. I'm not a big fan of this undercard whatsoever. I'm just not big on it. I mean, you got a six-rounder with Zhu Shiming, and you know, I understand that they're not going to put him in 10-rounders right now, but, and I understand it's in China, so you're going to have him on the card, but then you got another prospect fight for six rounds, so you have two six-rounders. You know, they act like it's you get five fights in this one. Well, that's cool, we get five fights, but you know, they're six-rounders. You know, I think Felix will probably make a show of it. Zhu Shiming doesn't seem to have a ton of power. I'm not sure if he'll make a show of it. Andy Ruiz and Tora Hammer, that could be an interesting heavyweight fight. We'll see where that goes. I mean, but it's decent for Ruiz. I'm not trying to hack the fight per se, but it's just, I don't know, man. Like I said, if you're going to charge the creme de la creme price, we all know there's $49.99 or $49.95, then there's $54.95, which is usually what a Pacquiao or Mayweather fight will be. But Pacquiao fighting Rios and Pacquiao fighting Marquez is different, in my opinion. And, you know, I don't – but like I said, though, if you're gonna charge us like it's a – super fight, then give us an undercard. And, you know, the Gradovich and Billy Dibb, that first fight was really interesting. Gradovich came out, you know, with the victory. This is the rematch for Gradovich's belt, the IBF featherweight. I like that fight. I think it'll be intriguing. I think it'll be exciting. I will say this, though, about the undercard. I wonder which Billy Dibb we'll see. Will it be the Billy Dibb that talked about being exciting and talk about raising his profile in America and and talking about getting big fights and exciting, you know, his exciting style that he wanted to change. Well, that style that he changed got him knocked down, got him cut, and got him hurt against Gradovich the first time around. So will he keep going balls to the walls? I mean, he did it in his last fight, but in this fight, in the rematch, when he knows the first fight clearly, that style did not work for him in that fight. You know, you wonder. You wonder if he's going to kind of calm his style down and make for a slower fight. And that's was the biggest complaint about him when he was on some fights and undercards here. And you know, people just couldn't stand him. I think it was, God, was it Billy Dib Lueveno? I can't remember, but there's one that everybody was just freaking out about. And I don't know, man. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be surprised if Dib comes out and boxes and sticks and moves and try to slow down the action, because Gradovich is a guy that, yeah, he may be a huge puncher, but he comes forward and he likes to throw a lot of punches. He definitely throws a ton of punches. So Gradovich, Billy Dib, I'm going to go with Gradovich. I really think that he's going to pull it off again. Wonder if Garcia is going to be in his corner or if he's going to send somebody else out there, because Brandon Rios will be warming up. More than likely, that's probably what it'll take. I don't know. You've also seen it the opposite where, you know, the fighter then or the trainer then goes back and warms up his fighter. It may be too close, but that very next fight, Garcia may not be there with Gradovich for that fight. That'll be interesting. But I am going to pick Gradovich again. But like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if Billy Dib came out and boxed and tried to keep it on the outside and slow down the fight. Who knows? He may be stuck between styles. We see that a lot, and I talk about that a lot. Because when people try to change a little bit, sometimes they get in the middle, and they're just stuck there, just not really fully on a new, you know, a new new game plan or whatever, but then not implementing their old one, you know, as well. So, I don't know. Be very interesting to see how that fight goes. But Pacquiao Rios, obviously, Pacquiao coming off, you know, a crucial loss that he took last year to Marquez. Rios himself is coming off a loss. It's funny because Alvarado, you know, obviously Rios lost to Alvarado. They talked about Alvarado, the reason why he wasn't getting the shot at Pacquiao is because of the injury, the hand injury. Well, it's, you know, it's kind of funny how that works because, he's already fought and lost in that time. So, I don't know, kind of weird how that worked out. But obviously this is a big one for him because he needs this win, obviously, Pacquiao. I mean, both of them do, but Pacquiao the most. They obviously didn't want a guy that had a chance to be on the move and to do some good work on the outside. You know, what Alvarado can do. He'll also brawl. We know that. Obviously, he didn't learn his lesson enough from the first fight with Rios because look what happened to him against Provokhnikov. You know, he sat there and banged it out too much with a guy like Provokhnikov. And, you know, he learned his lesson, or at least he got taught a lesson. We'll see if he learns from it. So, obviously, Rios was there, and punching bag is obviously an extreme way to – it's kind of like, say, calling someone a bum. And Rios even takes, you know, he takes that as a slight, obviously. I mean, and even says, and it's true, I mean, that, you know, punching bags don't punch back. So I'm not a punching bag, you know, otherwise I wouldn't be punching back. So they obviously want a guy that's going to stand right there in front. It's going to be an entertaining style, which Brandon Rios is, obviously. And but also a guy that has never been at 147, although I don't think he'll have a ton of issues with that weight as far as carrying his power. And, you know, obviously they want a guy that can get hit a lot and doesn't have good defense. And that's exactly – I mean, don't get me wrong. You see once in a while Rios will be able to block a punch coming in with his glove, puts his guard up there and all that, but until there's head movement and upper body movement, I don't know. You know, a lot of people, when Rios started making his they've said about this about Leo Santa Cruz too. Leo Santa Cruz and Brandon Rios, a lot of people dubbed them as Margarito 2.0. So, you know, maybe a more updated version of Margarito, obviously. Now, I would say that Leo Santa Cruz matches that description better because of his work rate. And, I mean, that guy throws a lot of punches. Not to say that, you know, Rios doesn't throw a lot of punches, but if you've seen two of them, the two of them fight, you could see Leo's a lot closer to Margarito as far as just I'm coming forward and I'm also cutting off, you know, trying to cut off the ring, but I'm throwing just a million punches and I keep throwing the punches. Whereas he doesn't always, Rios I'm speaking of, he doesn't always just throw punches at the rate. I mean, it's hard to stay at a Margarito rate. I don't care who you are. So, but I guess what I'm trying to say is, obviously, you know, Margarito and Pacquiao already fought. And talk about entertainment. That was about it. I mean, that was a great fight. It was a fun fight to watch. Was it one-sided? Oh, yeah. Of course it was. It was majorly, you know, that way. But it's not like he didn't get his in. I mean, obviously, when you throw that many punches, you're going to land some. But he landed a lot. And in fact, you know, I'm not a big CompuBox guy. This is about, when did this fight happen? I mean, it's, what is it, 2 years ago? It happened. Yep, it did. Right around this time, 3 years ago. And if you look at the numbers here, now Pacquiao threw 1,000 punches, over 1,000 punches. And he actually outworked Margarito in that department, 8-17, because it was hard to throw as many punches against Pacquiao because he kept getting hit with so many damn punches. But if you look at it, though, and he landed 474 of those, okay? And 400 of the 474 were power punches. But he threw a jab a lot, though. I mean, he threw a jab like every third punch, Pacquiao. But my point being, Margarito, though he didn't get to 1,000 like he normally does, he landed over 200 punches. And that's a lot of punches. I don't care who you are. You get 200 punches land on you. It's something, you know, it's something to talk about. I mean, it's not easy. And that's pretty intriguing, you know, to me. Because what it tells me is, he was getting hurt. He admitted he got hurt to the body on the ropes. He admitted it after the fight. He definitely admitted it. So, to me, that adds something there, you know. And we always hear about Pacquiao's camp. And the last couple of camps have been bad, but we keep hearing that, oh, my God, you know, this camp. Well, now it does seem like they're saying this again. What do you know? And you just wonder, you know, a lot of this stuff is just that, talk, right? But you wonder how much of it is actually true this time. I mean, he gets to basically train where he likes to train all the time, and then he just takes a quick flight to China, which is not that far away considering what Rios has to do. So he gets to be in, you know, be home, you know, with all his kids, and man, his kids are growing. Holy cow, his kids are growing. Watching that HBO 24/7, wow, his kids are growing up, 10, 11, and 12 or something like that. It's crazy. Either way, we know that he's a, you know, a guy that's changed his life around and all that. We know that. More of a family man now, whatever. There's just something about, I mean, this year break could be what the doctor ordered. And CT, I'm going to get to you here and get your thoughts. I'm kind of rambling right now. But, you know, and we have an hour, or I'm sorry, hour. We did an hour stream, so we got about 8 minutes left of the live stream. Call 646-381-4990. Or if you're already on the line like several are, go ahead and press 1 if you want to join in and give your take on this. Like I said, I know there's not as many people that will call in and talk just because a lot of people are used to the Wednesday night thing, so they don't get as much, you know, that the schedule throws their schedule all off. But I appreciate CT calling in. And like I said, hopefully it doesn't keep happening. I do like my Wednesday nights, you know. But either way, it is what it is. Back to the rest, okay? This is the longest break he's ever taken in his career. And that's pretty crazy. I mean, it dates back quite a ways back. He started in the 90s, late 90s, and I mean, he got knocked out at like 19 and then went on a tear. I mean, obviously lost some of those Marquez fights, you know. He obviously, on the books, lost to Morales. We know that. But for a guy with that many around his, and some of them really difficult fights taking a lot out of your body, I feel like this break that he has really can only go two ways. One, the break does the opposite. It actually makes his mind closer to retirement. It kicks him on down further down that path of, you know what, I'm good. I don't want to do this anymore. And so he took all that time off, maybe stayed in shape playing basketball and all that, but came in, you know, to camp, and it furthered away from the sport. Was actually good, but it also maybe made his mind go, you know, I like this. Like, I'm good. Or it's going to do the opposite. One, it's going to recharge the batteries. You know, you need to mentally and physically heal your body after that many fights and that many training camps. And like I mentioned, some of the fights just brutal. You need a break. And maybe this is, like I mentioned, just what the doctor ordered, to have this break, to get away from it, and just to let your body heal and rest. And obviously, off a knockout like that, it's that much more important to heal and rest and all that. But to get your biggest break, it really could recharge his batteries to the point where we could see a more dedicated Pacquiao. And if that's the case, then I believe he still has a couple of key fights left. I'm not going to say, you know, plenty of his career, because it's still, you know, it's not any time. It's getting down there. Let's put it that way. You know what I mean? It's not like he has a lot of career left anyway. And it's so funny how every time Pacquiao fights, Bob Arum's just like, well, Mayweather Pacquiao's next. I don't see why anything could cause the only problem we could see now is HBO or Showtime. But other than that, and then he uses the Lennox Lewis Tyson thing, and it's just funny how that works. But he really could be rejuvenated, and if the talk, which is as of right now just a bunch of BS as far as in the past it has been, and it's not like they're the only camp that does this, but they do it because, you know, on HBO 24/7 and all that, they're just in the limelight more, so you get more out of this. But the last couple of camps, they've said, oh, my God. Yeah, they've made something out of distractions, but for the most part, they say, this is it, man. He's looking great, you know? This, that, and the other, and it just hasn't been the case. And then they look like crap or don't look at a high level. Even that Pacquiao-Margarito fight after, I remember Ariza saying, you know, that he didn't do any of his workouts, you know, so, you know, he's had the issues with the cramps, so he's had issues, and we'll see if you know, we get a rejuvenated Pacquiao, and that could be a scary thought. I mean, people talk of his demise, but for part of that fight, the other half of that fight, I mean, half the fight he was losing. He got knocked on his butt, and it wasn't looking good in other ways. But in the other part, once he scored a knockdown back and started getting his, you know, finding his rhythm, the hand speed, the accuracy, the in and out, it all looked just fine. It looked just fine. He didn't look old or anything like that. And he, you know, he broke Marquez's nose. He had Marquez, you know, hurt. I'm not going to say he was going to knock him out. A lot of people already give that to Pacquiao, like, oh, he was going to knock him out. Well, I mean, maybe. We don't know that, though, because we know Marquez has been close to being knocked out before. And maybe, you know, this time he wouldn't have recouped. But, you know, odds are he would have been able to. Point being, Pacquiao looked pretty damn good for a large portion of that fight before the knockout. So, you know, you wonder, that in-and-out, quick in-and-out style, that at his best when he's throwing, you know, the right hook and the right jab, followed by the left hand rather than just throwing lead left, or throwing a jab but just kind of throwing it out there and throwing the left, basically just trying to land one big punch. When he gets that in-and-out with combination, he's very tough to beat, and he's one of the best fighters when he's doing that. And I just don't see how he can't do that in this fight. CT, man, what are your thoughts heading into this fight? Obviously, it's not like there aren't a lot of unknowns. The only thing unknown, really, because we've seen both these guys fight so many times, you can almost see how the fight's going to be played out as far as in theory. But the biggest unknown is obviously Pacquiao's, you know, health, I guess you could say, in his chin. What are your thoughts on this fight? How do you see this thing playing out?
Yeah, that's the most thing I'm looking for in this fight, how well Pacquiao is able to take a punch. And that's what you look for when you see a fighter get knocked out the way he did. As we all know, when a fighter gets knocked out like that, they're never the same. And if you're messed up psychologically, Rios is kind of like the wrong style to be in the ring against. This guy's mentally tough, he's physically strong, he hits hard, and he's somewhat like Margarito, but I would say he fights in a way where he comes in with a tighter guard, he closes the distance a lot quicker. I'm not sure if he hits harder than Margarito, but his punches are shorter, and he gets stronger as the fight goes on. The thing is, with Pacquiao, he evolves himself with great hand speed, power, and he uses angles, and I don't think Rios has ever been in the ring with a quicker-handed fighter than Pacquiao, so we're all going to see, you know, what happens. Rios definitely has to close the distance, get in close, and go to the body, and he has to physically rough up Pacquiao and land to the head. He's got to make him guess himself, and, you know, with Pacquiao being knocked out like that, Rios has got to put his mind back in that type of frame where, oh, shit, you know what I mean? The thing is, Pacquiao's got to use his legs. He's got to use his combinations because lately I haven't really seen him use the combination as he used to. He's got to time Rios coming in and definitely use his legs, use his jab, and use that straight Clark down the middle. I actually seen Pacquiao being good with his lead left hand. He's good with that because he throws the lead left and he drifts off to the right hand side, so it's hard to counter him. And we all know that Pacquiao usually has trouble with counter punches like Marquez and people who gave him trouble in the past countering. Rios is the type of fighter who's never been in front of Pacquiao. So all in all, like Mike Tyson said, usually this favors Pacquiao, but this is different because Pacquiao has been knocked out cold. So, and what I think is interesting in the 24/7 is they see in camp with Pacquiao, he's got his hand speed and his power back. But one thing Rios never mentioned is how well he is able to take a punch. And none of those sparring partners that I've seen has the same power that Rios has. So we'll see what happens tonight after the fight. I'm just looking forward to it. If I can pick a winner, I'm going to lean towards Pacquiao, but I wouldn't be surprised if Rios pulled it off.
You know, and it's interesting because the one thing is, as far as like what each fighter brings to the table in this fight, and in any fight for that matter, but, you know, how far can you stray away from what got you there? And this goes for both fighters in this situation, because Manny coming off the knockout, well, it was a brutal knockout, but, and I think we can kind of attest to what's happened recently, that sometimes just getting a concussion punch, like it's obviously better just to go out real quick where you're like, oh yeah, he was out for a split second and he's back, than going, you know, face planting and being asleep for a minute. You know, that those are two different concussions. So we know there's a difference there, but there is something to be said about just getting hit flush, knocked out, and you're done, rather than getting hurt and then taking a beating, recouping, getting hurt again, taking a beating while you're hurt, recouping, taking another beat, you know, to go on another, how brutal that fight was already, you know, after six rounds. There is something to be said about wear and tear during a fight that can be a lot more damaging, and I think that a perfect example is, obviously, Abdusalamov. So, you know, maybe the whole he's done and the chin is never going to hold up, maybe that's going a little overboard, you know? It's hard not to have that in your head. So you wonder, will Pacquiao come out? I mean, if he's ever going to learn a lesson, which he already should have learned, you know, the over-aggressive stuff, obviously that's what got him knocked out. So you wonder if this is when he actually finally learns his lesson all the way and just sticks to that in and out, darting in, darting out, using angles and all that, and his footwork and his, you know, his hand speed, but also his foot speed, and just gets in and out and is able to just be busy and land at will and reset and dart back in, and the fight plays out a lot like the Margarito fight. And you wonder if he's going to be, you know, able to throw 800, 900 punches without having that in the back of his head. My guess is yes, he will, but you just never know. Or he's too safe, and this is what I mean, stuck between styles, when you try to change something or something changes your mind in a fight or before a fight or from a fight, whatever the case may be. Will he be a little not aggressive enough? You know, because he did get put up against the ropes plenty of times in that Margarito fight and in several of his fights in the last handful of years. But he's able to get through it and be fine. But he did admit getting hurt to the body. And they are different, no doubt about it. I mean, Rios is more of a plotting come-forward guy. He wants to establish his jab even more. You know, he wants a punches and combinations, left hook to the head or to the body, then the head, and of course his right hand, huge punch. But it's it's not as fluid. Not to say Margarito's a fluid puncher as far as accuracy, but it's just not as constant. Like, Margarito would just, he'll get hit, but he'll just keep throwing punches. I mean, he's still, that beating he took it with the one eye, you know, really one active eye, he's still, almost 900 punches against, you know, Manny and land over 200. So, they're different guys. And Rios is worried about getting hit a little bit more as far as being able to block it with his guard or block it from time to time, block shots with his glove. He's pretty good at that at times. So they are different. But then you also look at you hear from the Garcia camp that they've been working on some things. Well, you're always working on some things. But to get a little more detailed into that, they're talking about, like, he's been working on his counter. And counterpunching, we know, one, is very underrated. It's very underrated, and it's an art form. People don't respect it until they see it, point blank, and then they go, wow, you know, that was awesome. But you just don't see it as much. It's tough, though. My point being is, you're not going to get it in a camp. You're not going to become a counterpuncher in a camp or 2 years of camp. You're not just going to become – it's instinctual, yes, but you have to work on it for a long time for the instincts to come out, you know. Yeah, are they going to be better? Like, if you had 2 8-year-olds and you taught them how to be a counterpunching fighter, is one of them probably going to be better than the other? Yeah, probably, you know. And sometimes natural instincts, speed, all that, you know. You got to have timing, but you got to have speed, too, to be a good counterpuncher. But timing is just, you know, as important and more, probably. It is more important. But my thing is, much the way Pacquiao could be maybe not as aggressive, but then not aggressive enough to keep your work rate up and to keep real of you, could we see... And it sounds weird saying this, a safer Rios. See, it doesn't even sound right, does it? A guy that's working on a counter, that's one thing, but to actually produce in a fight counter shots more than just one, I don't know. And I guess that could be an issue as far as him trying to time stuff and trying to do some stuff that he's not necessarily amped to do, whereas instead of worrying about, maybe the timing is just when you see him throw, just throw. And maybe you can catch him with something bigger in an exchange. Now, that's obviously dangerous as well, because Manny will catch you in an exchange, and more than likely his punch is going to get there faster. I guess you could make your punch straighter, you know, and then it has less time to travel, and maybe you can hit him with a big shot. But it's tough, man. It's very tough to fight Manny, no doubt about it, especially when you're a come-forward fighter. But I saw enough in no fight that I am confident that Rios will have performance. And I really think, obviously, not going out on a limb here, I think it's an entertaining fight, to say the least. Very entertaining fight. But I just think unless Pacquiao is just a shell of himself and you can clearly see him hesitant, clearly now, not hesitant here and there or at the beginning when they're feeling each other out or whatever, who knows how much they're actually going to feel each other out in this fight. I don't think past a round or two we'll be right in the heat of it, more than likely. But I guess if you saw a Pacquiao that's a shell of himself, then I'd give it to Rios. You know, I have an article at eastsideboxing.com. It's at theboxingvoice.com and also at Phil Boxing, and it's called the Macau Massacre, or the Massacre in Macau. Honestly, entertainment value, oh, yeah, this one's through the roof, but I don't see him able to land enough in a row, because there's so many times where you see Manny just get hit. Or I'm sorry, Rios, get hit so much and not necessarily throw back in an exchange where he'll let the guy get off and then he'll take his turn. And that just doesn't work. That doesn't work, you know. That does not work with Pacquiao. So I'm going to go Pacquiao by late TKO, either cuts or eye swell stoppage, TKO, or by unanimous decision. As far as Froch and Groves, I think I like Groves as a fighter. You know what I mean? I think he's got potential. And he can do some stuff out there. You know what I mean? He really can. He really can. I like him as a fighter. And I think he's got a future. But I think Froch is just too experienced. And he's going to get it done. But it should be very entertaining. I mean, Groves in the Glenn Johnson fight. The Francisco Sierra, he looked pretty good in. The Johnson fight, he obviously, you know, dominated, even though he did get hit with some flush shots back. I mean, I guess you could say both him and Froch did, you know, versus Glenn Johnson. But I like the skill coming out of George Groves that, you know, him beating DeGale, you know, early on would win for him. And keep it competitive. I think it's going to be a good fight. I do favor Carl Froch, so I'm going to go Froch. I think it'll be by decision. I don't think he'll knock him out. Some other action going on. Scott, by the way, Scott and Anthony Crollo, guys that are pretty big in there. Steven Smith, McDonald, a couple other guys from the UK are fighting as well on that undercard. And locally it's AWE is what it's going to be on. Pablo Hernandez, Johan Pablo Hernandez is fighting for his cruiserweight belt. He's fighting in Germany. So there's a lot going on. Fox Sports 1 has I'm going to see how my schedule goes here. I'm going to see if I can do a post-fight show if the timing is right. But either way, you know, enjoy the fights this weekend. I'm really looking forward to just action-wise these fights. Hopefully we get some good action on these undercards, you know what I mean? But either way, enjoy the fights. Peace.
Once you become the world champion, I believe that you feel you have the upper hand. So now, as you fight, let's say you fight 4 or 5 years of straight survival, the bullshit, the whole bag, and when you become the world champion, you're like, you know what, I made it. I'm going to show you.